The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A very happy Epiphany to you all. How lovely to see you in this wonderful new year. And thank you, Felicity. Do you want to hazard a guess as to which bit of the sermon, the scripture this is linked with? I heard someone speaking. Yes, that's the title of the sermon, and it's in the reading. And this picture is part of the journey to Egypt. Let me explain. It's a painting by Leonardo da Vinci. Now, it's 500 years this year since Leonardo died, and I thought, well, you know, he's a genius, and it's 500 years, why not mark that with a few sermons during the course of the year? So during the course of the year, we're going to look at four pictures linked to different scriptures and see what we can make of them. Leonardo da Vinci, anatomist, architect, painter, general all-round genius, didn't paint that many pictures, actually, but the ones he did are very well-known. Most well-known one? Last Supper, I think. Yeah, but there are others too. And we'll look at that later in the year. There are two versions of this painting, which is called The Virgin of the Rocks. This one is in the Louvre in Paris. Has anyone seen it? Yeah. Has anyone seen the other one in the National Gallery? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it is, they are different. And the reason there are two is that Leonardo, it's thought, it's not entirely clear, Leonardo started painting this one for a commission for a chapel in Milan. And he got his initial fee, and then he got a monthly fee while he was doing it, the sort of arrangement that people like when they're working on things. And then when he came to deliver the painting, the chapel refused to pay the final part of his fee. So he sold it to someone else. And then things got ghastly with lawyers, terrible people, lawyers. And so he had to paint another one, which, so that's why there were two. The first one, it's thought he genuinely painted. The second one, those in the know, in the one in London, is thought not to be quite so good, and it's thought that he got his assistants to paint most of it, and that was the one that fulfilled the commission. Now, what do you see? Have you got one, Lottie? Someone got two. What does anyone see? What do the young ones see in the picture? What do you actually just see? Tell me something obvious. You can say something completely obvious if you like. Do you see any people? How many people?
Mm-hmm. Four.
Do we see four people? One of them's an angel, yes. So sort of, that's right, but they're four. So three people and an angel in a nice rocky landscape with little flowers around it. Who are these people? Who are they? Who do we think they are? Any ideas? Sarah. Oh, Taya. Yeah.
It looks a bit like that's the mummy of Jesus, Mary and Jesus.
You think it's Mary and Jesus, and you think the baby on the left of the picture might be Jesus. Does anyone else have any other ideas? Oh, Sam.
The other child might be John.
The other child might be John, right? Okay, so the two babies are John and John the Baptist and Jesus. Now, here's an interesting thing. Does the scripture talk about John the Baptist and Jesus meeting when they were toddlers? Getting a shake of the head from Mary. That's right, it doesn't. No scripture does. So, we've got Leonardo, who's been asked to paint what was a popular story at the time. The idea was that at the same time that Jesus fled to Egypt, John the Baptist and his family did too. And the story went, it's not in the Bible, but it was a popular story, the story went that John the Baptist was accompanied by the angel Gabriel. And they met on the road. And that's what he's painting. So it's not strictly biblical, but it's sort of referring to stories around the Bible. Okay? Often when we look at pictures alongside a scripture, what we can do is say, what's in the scripture? What's the artist painted? Has the artist spotted something in the scripture that we haven't seen, and is the artist right? Okay, what's the artist teach? We can't quite do that here because it's definitely not in the scripture. But are there more general lessons that are, as it were, biblical lessons for us? What's he up to? Why did the people in this chapel in Milan want this painted as a huge altarpiece? It's 6 feet high, this painting. So, what's it about? Well, let's look more closely. Mary is in the middle, as Teo spotted, and she's wearing a blue cloak and a red dress of some sort. Now, she was often painted wearing blue. Everyone knows that, right? It wasn't a rule, but it was a practice. Does anyone know why blue? Has anyone heard why blue? Sarah?
One reason was that it was painted using lapis lazuli in the paint.
I did not know that. Lapis lazuli came from Afghanistan, very expensive. So Mary was given this beautiful paint. And do you know if it had any meaning, the blue? Apparently, the meaning of the blue, blue is to do with God. Blue is to do with the transcendence of God. Do you know that word? The everywhereness of God. And so by cloaking Mary in the blue, it's saying something about the transcendence of God focusing in on this woman, this one person. And red underneath? Red? Blood and earth, so creation and humanity. So we've got this lovely picture, which you often see of Mary, outer blue, inner red. It's the transcendence of God covering his earth and his humanity. So she's the sort of summary. And her blue cloak, you'll see, what Leonardo's done, he's opened it out, it covers everything, it's spreading out on the ground, it sort of envelops everything, really, and that's a nice little image. Now, who else we've got? Baby on the right, the one that Mary is cuddling. So the one that Mary's not cuddling, the baby on the right. Like Taya, I thought, when I first looked at the picture, the baby on the left was Jesus. People who've written about the painting say, no, it's not. It's the baby on the right, actually, that's Jesus. And the baby on the right, the reason that people say that is the baby on the right is giving a blessing. Do you see that? The baby on the right's got its hand out and is giving a blessing. So the baby Jesus is the source of blessings, is the idea, is actually giving the blessing. And the other baby is John the Baptist, who's kneeling and praying, yeah? And John the Baptist is kneeling and praying to Jesus. Two toddlers, one giving a blessing, one kneeling and praying. What a peculiar thing. Two toddlers, one giving a blessing and one kneeling and praying. Parents, did any of your toddlers kneel and pray like John the Baptist or give blessings? Like, no. Is it scriptural? Is there some basis in scripture for this? Who came to the said communion just before Christmas? A few? Okay. One of you guys, tell me, does this have scriptural echoes? Okay, so, Romy.
When Mary went to visit Elizabeth,
yes,
and she recognised the baby and the baby leapt in her womb and she said she was blessed among women.
Yeah, male, head, meet each other, bang. So Mary, the pregnant Mary, goes to see her cousin, the pregnant Elizabeth, and when Mary greets Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt. Recognised the fetal John, recognised the fetal Jesus, okay? Leapt in the womb. And then wind on 30 years, and the Bible says that John sees Jesus in the crowd and says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And all Leonardo's doing is filling in a bit in the middle. So it's a legitimate kind of step of the imagination to say that the toddler Jesus is blessing the praying, worshipping John. So the toddler John is worshipping Jesus. What he's telling us about Jesus is that Jesus is worthy of worship. Jesus is God. It's a really important statement to have one person praying to another because it means that other one is God. Okay, and then the angel. Let's look at the angel. What's the angel doing? What's the angel? Yeah, Francis is doing it, pointy. And one other thing the angel is conspicuously doing that the others aren't. Yeah, looking at us, looking out. So the angel's doing two things. The angel is pointing at John the Baptist and looking at us. Now, angels are messengers from God, so it's legitimate to say, I think, that this message for us, and it's reinforced by the fact the angel is looking out at us. And the message for us seems to be, look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist is getting it right. He's got this relationship right. He's worshipping Jesus, praying to Jesus. So it's rather special, isn't it? I sometimes think that because Jesus is human, we forget that he's God. It's easy to do. And it's important. It's not just to do with the miracles and with calming the storm and turning water in the wine. The importance of Jesus being divine, being God, goes right to the cross. If a person dies, it's sad, but you know what? Billions of them die. If a person dies unjustly, it's sad, but you know what? Lots of people die unjustly. But where someone who is human and God dies, it has whole different implications. In the theology that I understand, I would say that only God can bear the sins of the whole world. If a human being dies, he can't take away my sin. God himself suffers that death. He can, because of his infinite capacity to absorb, to bear, to forgive. You might look at it other ways and say his death was an infinite act of love. It wasn't just like Bonhoeffer or someone dying for one person or one family. It was an infinite act of love because he's the infinite transcendent God. And so the fact that the angel is telling us, look, John's got it right, worship this person is God, is a really important insight, which I think is what Leonardo's on about. Now, in the first part of our reading, we had the three gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh. And you'll all remember what those gifts represent. Gold for a kingship, myrrh for death, and frankincense, holy prayers, but also something else? Deity. Yeah, deity. So it links with that too. Now, it's good to remember that Jesus is divine. It's something I want us to make sure we remember. And I thought we could remember it by having our not yearly, but probably every other yearly outing of frankincense. So it's all right if we burn a little frankincense today and have a little smell around the altar. Does anyone get terribly allergic to anything? Now, does anyone want to come and help me with this? Anyone? Sam, Taya, do you want to come and help light the frankincense? We haven't got a proper thurim, bull, or whatever you call it, but we can use this. Do you want to come help with this? Right, okay, so I've made a little burner. Could you please grab the matches off the top of the piano and the lighter and come and light the burners? And frankincense is the gum of a tree. Anyone seen it before? You like those candles, please, Tara. I can leave you to that. Show people. You see this gum? That's all it is. Just bits of dried gum. That's frankincense for you. Frankincense, bits of dried gum. If anyone wants some to take home and burn at home, I've got plenty. That's it. So frankincense reminds, as we smell it and come up to remember Jesus, we can remember that the person, the human that we're remembering, is divine. That's the point. The point of the picture and the point of the frankincense. Is that one not lighting? Light another match. You can use another match. It's all right. Can we run to another match, Mr. Treasurer? Okay. There you go. Well done. Well done. That's good. My goodness, it's a weak old kettle. Right, we put this metal on top, and then what we're going to do is just put some granules on there put a few more. And Ted, could you carry it up and put it just on the altar for me? I'm afraid I will either overdo it or underdo it because I'm not an expert in incense. And just make sure, that's it. Just on the front of the altar. Joan, could you just help that stuff? There we are. So it'll either be too much cloud or not enough, but I hope we'll all get the whiff and just remember Jesus is human and divine, and that matters because he then is the one who's able to love us and save us, all of us, no limits.
Amen.